I'm going to deliver the second part of duty of an apostle. Last time I told you about the duty of an apostle. And the duty should be faithful to death, not to be judged, and fulfill the duty with the heart of martyrdom. Let me review it. Those who died as martyr knew what kind of death they will face. Apostle Peter knew that he would be crucified. Apostle Paul knew that he would be beheaded by the hands of Gentiles. But they obeyed. Now, think of yourself as an apostle. You testify to the cross, and you are beaten, you are imprisoned, and you are persecuted. You know, you are facing the moments that your life is at stake. But you have to preach Jesus Christ and His gospel. Can you imagine those hearts? Those apostles risked their lives. The reason I'm telling you this is to tell you what kind of heart those, apostles had. They knew what kind of end they will see, but they worked for Father God's kingdom. We can understand apostles' heart well through the Bible. They knew they would die miserably. However, they did their job with thanks and joy. When they were beaten, they sang praises of thanks. When they were eaten by lions, they died in joy. If you say you have faith, then you gotta have this kind of heart. In Colosseum, because of they believed in Jesus Christ, they became prey to lions. The crowds enjoyed it when those Christians were dying. However, those Christians sang praises while they were dying. They didn't say, it's not fair. They just died in silence while singing praises to God. So the crowd thought about that. Why? They died. They are dying, singing praises. What is wrong? What's going on with them? So instead of, mocking them, they were touched by their sin. And later, they accepted the Lord as their Savior, and they became Christians. Our Lord said in Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12, "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great." Apostles knew that the life on this earth is temporary. They look up to the reward in heaven, so they could rejoice in any situations. This is faith. They are persecuted in the name of the Lord, and it will become their reward. So naturally, they were joyful. Because of that persecution, the glory of God would be revealed, and many souls would be saved. So they were rejoicing because of that. However, those apostles knew how and when they would die, so they kind of nervous. Not because they were afraid of their death. Because they were kind of nervous because the time is limited to save souls. So they were dying. They were just nervous to save just one more soul. How can I tell them the living God? How can I preach this gospel to save just one more soul? They thought about this. And they did their duty with their risking their life. I'm going to talk about three more about the duties of an apostle. Well, don't think you have nothing to do with it because you are not a pastor, even though you are a deacon or a deaconess. As you do the job of apostles, if you do your job as an apostle, then Father God will consider you great. Apostle is a perfect servant of the Lord who becomes a servant of God and those who teach you. But the perfect servant of God are the people of spirit and Holy Spirit. And they are followed with the power of God. Since apostles are a servant of God, they know the will of God and they obey the will of God. To fulfill the duty of an apostle, we must boast of weakness in Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:10 says, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are prudent in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are without honor." And verse 13 says, "When we are slandered, we try to conciliate. We have become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now." Why are they saying they are foolish, weak, and without honor? For Christ's sake. It means those worldly people and those Christians who say they believe but do not live by the word of God look full to, those apostles look full to such people. Well, obviously you got angry when you were hit. Even though you did something wrong, when someone hits you first, then you would fight back naturally. Well, that's what worldly people think natural. However, there are situations in which Christians are persecuted and persevered even if they are ambiguous because they are Christians. You know, we are told to turn the other cheek when we are hit on our one cheek. So Christians try to endure it, even though they didn't do anything wrong. So these kind of actions look, foolish to the worldly people. So they say the Christians are full. So that's why the Apostle Paul said he is weak and he is full for Christ's sake. Now, he said we. We means apostles and partners apostles and all the servants of God. So, everyone who is acknowledged before Father God are all included in this term, we. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:10, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are prudent in Christ." Well, he said this to let those people know that even though they say they believe in God, they don't live by the word of God. You know, if the members of the church of Corinth turned the other cheek when they were hit on the one cheek, then they may not look prudent to the eyes of worldly people. So, since they looked prudent, it means they didn't live by the word of God. The same goes with, we are weak. Apostles who lived by the word of God are weak, but those who don't look strong. So he's saying, you say you believe, but you don't live in the truth. So you can do your things with your own might and ability. So you pretend as if you're strong. That's what Apostle Paul is saying. Saying, worldly people say, believe in myself. They say, there's nothing to believe except my fist. I got nothing to believe except my wisdom. Well, they think, this is the representation of their strength. So they say, they pretend as if they're strong and they stand against God. However, those who truly follow God's will are not like this. They are quiet and they are patient. They are patient and they are quiet not because they are weak, but they do so because they are Christians and to live by the word of God. There is one thing you got to remember. You should not be allowed to cover the glory of God, although you can turn the other cheek when you're hit on your one cheek. Say, if someone comes and slaps your parent, then you say, if I hit the cheek on your right cheek, turn your left cheek too as God's word. Well, that's not the truth, right? If someone hit my cheek, then I'll be able to bear it. However, if someone spits, hits, or insults my own parents, then it cannot be tolerated. By the same token, hindering the glory of God or insulting the church of God or the servant or the shepherd insulted, then it cannot be tolerated. You got to distinguish it very well. Now, I am a daughter of senior pastor. Nowadays, I can shed more tears than you do. I may stay up all night or a couple of days while shedding tears. But, you know, Pastor Soo-jin Lee said, you know, lock it. Pray fervently. Visit members. And do your duty. That's what Pastor Soo-jin Lee said. My deeds, my look, should not hinder the glory of God. So I have to be careful with what I'm doing, and I'd better think about Father God's kingdom. And I'm so thankful for those who work for Father, for this church, secretary office and all other church workers. They become like disciples of the Lord. They risk their lives with all their heart and mind. They do their jobs. As I look at them, I was so thankful. They look so precious. Our members, when I visit you, you say, I am so fervent, I will do whatever you want me to do. Whenever you say so, I was thankful. However, and you said, you know, I will follow the rules of the church. If you say, you know, we gotta react with in goodness, then I will do. If you tell me to pray more, then I will pray more. I will just follow the instruction of the church. I was so thankful when you say so. Now the workers and leaders of the church, think of the works out. Now, you believe it, right? So please, gather your hearts and pray more and solve this situation with one heart, okay? Let's take a look how our Lord did. 2 Corinthians 13:4 says, for indeed he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. For we also are weak in him, yet we will live with him because of the power of God directed towards you. Jesus made the deaf hear, and the mute speak, and crippled stand up, and leper healed. Even the revived the dead. He calmed down the waves and winds. He is so strong. Our shepherd, Dr. Gerald Lee, even waves, stops even waves and hurricanes. Just as our shepherd hovered, the waves stopped and hurricane changed its course. The hurricane stopped. Our shepherd is strong. Our Lord is strong. However, our Lord became weak. Why? Because of our sin. To take care of our sin, he became weak. He stood in the position of servant, and he served, and he could not but be crucified. However, because he became weak, we could reach salvation. If the Son's, the only begotten Son, had shown its power, then nobody could have crucified our Lord on the cross. But Jesus said in Matthew 26:53, do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will not once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? If it had not been the will of God, our Jesus arresting, Father God would have defeated all those people. Jesus was that strong. However, to accomplish the will of God, he didn't do so. He was strong as a Son of God. However, he followed the will of God, and he himself became weak in order to redeem us from our sins. Sinless Jesus was crucified and redeemed us from our sins so we could reach salvation. That was the will of God, and he followed it. So he became weak. The same goes with apostles, like Apostle Paul. He became weak to save souls. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:3, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. In 2 Corinthians 11:30, he said, if I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness. What would you boast of? Are you going to boast of your strength? 1 Corinthians 15:43 says, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. So you should never sow dishonor and power. Please boast of being weak in the Lord. If you are strong, easily you can be arrogant, and you may reveal your self-righteousness. Therefore, you should be weak, you should be low, you should be humble in the truth, and you should consider others better than you are. You should become weak because we have to defeat, we have to win evil with goodness. Before our senior pastor met God, he was very strong. However, after he knew God, he became weak. So he would be just beaten if someone hits him. Moreover, he is a servant of God. In order not to hinder the glory of God, he will be just beaten by people. So apostles were all weak in Christ Jesus our Lord. They rather, you know, ran away when somebody followed them and hit them. They just, you know, preached the gospel, but they just told people not to report, because other people would be, you know, jealous of them and try to kill them. So even though they preached the gospel, they tried to hit themselves. Our Lord was so weak, he didn't even break off the bruised reed. That's the meaning of being weak. However, now look at our shepherd. Why is he walking by faith? Because he believes that there is a twist of goodness in order to get the 100% of power recreation. He is doing his job by faith. Now 1 Corinthians 4:10 says, we are fools for Christ's sake. And he said, you are strong, but you are distinguished. But we are without... He said in 1 Corinthians 4:10, you are distinguished, but we are without honor. Back then, apostles were ridiculed by people. They were stoned and they were imprisoned. It is the same today. Those who are faithful before God are without honor. Since they don't compromise with the world, the enemy, devil, and Satan know that they will manifest the signs and power of God. So they try to interfere them. So even those Christians who say they believe, who do not manifest the works of God, they got jealous of those true servants. So, those true servants of God and their children easily got without honor. Well, this message was delivered by our senior pastor in 1987. And I'm covering 1 Corinthians chapter 1 to 5. Our shepherd, you know, delivered this message in 1987. He could not become, you know, without honor because he manifested the power of God. He was greatly, he was the object of the jealousy of others because he manifested the power of God. Father God once told him that, my servant, you became without honor and you are persecuted a lot. Well, if you compromise with the world moderately, then you may not fall into a, you may not become without honor. So you can compromise. Then you may not suffer. You may pray just enough. You don't manifest the power. You just interpret the Bible literally. You don't explain those difficult verses in the Bible. You just play when others play. then you just don't pray fervently, but silently, then you may not be without honor. However, true servant of God, those true children of God, should be without honor. Because we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have to teach by the Bible. That's what our shepherd did. Many people persecuted our shepherd when he conducted the overseas crusade. He said, Jesus Christ is our only Savior. That's what others said when he conducted crusade in New York. However, after the crusade, I couldn't find those people who persecuted our shepherd. Later on, they rather said, they were wrong. We were mistaken, and they repented. Those who helped our shepherd experienced great revival, and they glorified God greatly. Why? Because our shepherd told them why Jesus becomes our Savior. And when he prayed for the sick, the amazing power of God was manifested. That's what he said. Why Jesus Christ is our Savior. And the power of God was manifested when he prayed. Then he glorified God. As I wanted to tell you many examples of God's power, the evidence that Father God is with this church. However, I had to, stop it because there are too many. But in Mami magazine, the power of God was manifested through those servants of God. Amazing power of God was manifested. How thankful I am. Those, cancer victims were healed. Those who were obsessed, possessed by demons were, healed. And they glorified God. And they became so beautiful and bright. So even though we are without honor, even though we are wrongfully accused, we may overcome it by faith. So you may be without honor. When you love the Lord Jesus Christ and preach the gospel at your work, if you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't lie, you just live right, then people will say, man, don't do that anymore. You need to be, you need to compromise for some degree. People may ridicule you and insult you. But if you say, if only Father God knows I'm a Christian, then it'll be fine. If you compromise like this, then you may not be without honor. Nobody will accuse you. However, you compromise with the world. Think about Daniel. He didn't compromise, and he was thrown into the lion's den. Evil people tried to kill Daniel. So they made an evil scheme. They put Daniel into lion's den. In a fleshly sense, he was ridiculed. He was without honor back then. Because he didn't compromise, he was put into that kind of situation. For God. He didn't stop praying. He was thrown into lion's den. But he loved God so much. So did Apostle Paul. He manifested countless signs and wonders and healed many people. But he was persecuted greatly and he was greatly beaten. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 27. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane, I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes, 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. This is how he suffered. He was so full and he was weak. He was beaten. He was suffered like this. Those who beat him were strong. If you are distinguished, you would not be beaten like this. Apostle Paul was hungry, thirst, and cold, but he endured them all. But it was more painful for him to think about church. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28 and 29, he said, apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. In verse 29, he said, who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? Our shepherd also is concerned about those weak faith, those who are persecuted. He always takes care of and concerns about workers and servants of God, not to suffer a lot while doing jobs. He doesn't take care of himself. He just clings to Father God only for souls and you. Verse 30 says, if I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness. Apostle Paul boasts of his weakness. We should be boast of our weakness. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 12 and 13 says, we toil, working with our own hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to conciliate. We have become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now. When Apostle Paul was reviled, he blessed. When he was persecuted, he endured. You know, being reviled means being insulted. The Bible tells us to pray for others' blessing when we are persecuted in the name of the Lord. The Lord said in Matthew 5:44, I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So we have to love our enemies. We have to bless those who revile us. And we have to bless those, who persecute us. That's what the Bible and the Lord tells us. We are being insulted and ridiculed by others. But when we are ridiculed by others, we should not ridicule them back. We rather, bless them. That's what the Bible tells us to do. We have to tell them. We have to teach them. We have to let them know what they don't know. We have to love them. We have to bless them. We have to pray for them. We have to forgive them. We have to understand them. That's what Bible tells us to do. Then we will not receive the work of Satan, but make peace. And we will have peace in our heart, and we can be more joyful and more thankful. That's the heart of our Lord and the heart of those who are loved by Father God. If we are hurt, if we are stumbled, if we got trouble in our heart, no way, it should not be like that. Now, those apostles, those who truly love Father God became like this, they became as the scum of the world. What does it mean? Even worldly people, take care of their, pets, like, dogs, birds, and fish. They feed them greatly. They even, make clothes for them. They bathe them, and they take care of their, hair. Even pets are loved by people. Now, apostles are men. They should be loved by people. However, they were reviled, they were persecuted, and they were cursed, and they were beaten. So, that's why they were like in the scum of the world and dregs of all things. So, they were treated less than such in a scum or dregs. Without reason, they were not loved. They rather were beaten without reason. They preached the word of life and they healed sick people. They solved the problems of people. So they must be loved. However, they were beaten, they were called, heretic, and they had to run away. That's why the Bible says, we have become as the scum of the world and dregs of all things. Apostle Paul teaches us what kind of life true Christian, witness of true witness of Jesus Christ, lives. Father God tells us to bless and rejoice and give thanks and become weak. We often make a loss because of the Lord, but this is the true way of life and true way of blessing. It seems like, you know, we are being damaged, but in the end, it turns out as blessing. Apostle Paul was originally a strong man. You have to rejoice and give thanks even though you are reviled like this. You are full if you give up your life as a witness to Christ because you are persecuted. Your deeds for Father God's kingdom, then Father God will repay us in goodness. So please make bread of this message and become wise in the Lord. The duty of an apostle is to be the father's heart when treating souls. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, "For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel." How many teachers are in Christ? Pastors and district leaders and sub-district leaders and cell leaders and Sunday school teachers. However, there are not many fathers. Father is the one who takes care of his children, feed them, educate them. He provides everything until they grow up. They feed them, clothe them, raise them, care them. However, a teacher is not a father. So he only teaches, but he does not take care of the responsibility of a father. So, there are many teachers in churches. However, there is no true father. A true father who raises flock plants faith until the flock became a man of truth, man of spirit. Think about the shepherd. Now, students, your parents taught you well, but you couldn't give up your cell phones or games on cell phone. However, when the shepherd looked at you, took pictures with you, made eye contact with you, you were touched. You heard many testimonies, and then you stopped playing games. Now you study. That's the testimony of your parents. Your parents said that, you know, my child, you know, don't use a cell phone anymore. With true heart of a father, our shepherd took care of our students, from young kids to, you know, college students. Apostle Paul is the father to the church members in church in Corinth. Spiritually, he was. Our shepherd gave birth to us in gospel. So, our shepherd is our spiritual father. Now, what's the meaning of giving birth? Well, first of all, a biological parent to give birth to their children. When they got pregnant and they give birth to their children and raise them and feed them until they grow up. So giving birth has includes all this kind of process. Now what is that you become the father through the gospel in Christ Jesus? So let's take an example of our shepherd and how, you know, just like, you know, our parents gave us, you know, nose and eyes and ears, our shepherd gave us spiritual eyes, nose and mouth. What does it mean? We didn't look at the truth before, but now we look at the truth with our eyes. We see good things, we speak good words, and we hear good words. We praise others with our own lips. We don't practice violence. We just, you know, come to church with our own feet. We meditate on the Word of God and have, you know, spiritual thoughts. we see, hear, do in the truth. We think of goodness, we plan goodness, and we speak good words. As we grow up like this in faith, we turn from a fleshly man into a spiritual man. That is to giving birth in the gospel, in Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul did in the church of Corinth. So that's why he said, you know, he gave birth to, you know, to you in the gospel. So he could become the spiritual father because he gave them and led them to the way of eternal life, way of salvation. But don't be misunderstand. Don't misunderstand. The original spiritual father is God, our Father God alone. Now, this original Father God gave the duties of an apostle to people. Therefore, even though Father God is our original Father, the servants of God who takes care of us through the gospel is also a spiritual father, but in different level. 1 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. He's not just forcing people to be imitators of him. He said, I also am the imitator of Christ. Say, there is a parent raising his children. Now, I am successful like this. I lived a good life. Then the parent can ask his children to be imitators of himself, right? But think about this. The parent didn't do a good job. He was a drunkard. He fought all the time. Now, would that parent say, be imitators of me? No way. He will say, don't live like me. He rather would teach, you know, resemble King Sejong or Shin Samdang, right? Be like them, right? Apostle Paul was the imitator of Jesus Christ. So that's why he was confident to say to his members, church members, be imitators of me. Since he resembled Jesus Christ, he could teach like this. If we don't see things with our own eyes, what we can believe? But people believe what they see. Our Lord said in John 14:1, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And he also said in John 14:9-10, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Our Jesus followed the will of God and resembled God. That's why our Lord told them to be imitators of him. And Apostle Paul, imitators of Jesus Christ, and so he asked people to be imitators of him. He said, just as I love Father God most, love God at most. Just as I am faithful, you should be faithful until death. That's what he meant. How did he love Father God? Now, if you resembled Apostle Paul, you resemble the characteristics of Jesus Christ. If you resemble Jesus Christ, then you resemble Father God. 2 Peter 1:4 says, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Therefore, you should be confident enough to say, be imitators of me as you love God and live in the truth. If you resemble our shepherd who loves Father God and lives only by the word of God, then you can resemble Jesus Christ and divine nature of God. When he was a deacon, senior pastor tries to change his personality and try to resemble God. Since Father God is perfect, since Father God is holy, He wants to be holy and perfect. Once my mother said, "You are a deacon, why do you try to change your characteristics?" Even my pastor said, "You know, you cannot change your personality, but why do you try to?" But as he read the Bible, he only tried to live by the Word of God. And he taught his children. Since the beginning of the church until this moment, he has taught his people. You gotta love Father God more than your parents. And I live such a life. He has loved Father God almost. And he always seek for the will of God. That's what we gotta do. We have to resemble his heart and his love. 1 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. And he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church." Apostle Paul loved Timothy a lot and taught well nourished in Jesus by the word of truth. Timothy believed and obeyed exactly as Apostle Paul taught him. In the Lord, Timothy was loved by Apostle Paul, and Apostle Paul treated him like as his own son. He was not a biological son, but he was a son in gospel. Timothy was called a beloved and faithful child. Why did he say so? Because Timothy believed in and resembled Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul wanted to send Timothy to Church of Corinth so that, you know, people in Corinthian church resemble, you know, Timothy. Wherever he went, you know, Apostle Paul taught the word of God and the message of the cross. He manifested here and there, in every church, wherever he went. But why did he say Timothy would remind you of his ways? Timothy resembled Apostle Paul. Exactly what he saw from Apostle Paul, he would say exactly what he had seen and heard. And that's what you know, Timothy did. Timothy would say like this, Apostle Paul prayed like this to receive answers. And Timothy also himself in the fasted like Apostle Paul and prayed fervently. He taught not only he learned from Apostle Paul, and he practiced what he learned from Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul saved sick people, weak people, advised people. Timothy did exactly the same thing. He helped the needy, he advised people, and he gave love to people. Every action that Timothy did was what Apostle Paul did. So even though Apostle Paul was not with the Church of Corinth, as the members of the Church of Corinth see the actions of Timothy, they would think, no, Apostle Paul might have done like that. So that's why Apostle Paul said that he would remind you of me and my ways. Timothy was not testifying to himself. He resembled Apostle Paul and testified to Apostle Paul. Testifying to Apostle Paul is to testifying to Jesus Christ. And testifying to Jesus Christ is to testifying God. Just as Apostle Paul resembled Jesus Christ, we have to resemble Apostle Paul. Then we can become the imitators of Jesus Christ. Then we can become the partakers of the divine nature of God. Every July, we have leadership conference for all church members. Before there was a pastor seminar, but now all members listen and go to the conference and learn the heart of Father God and goodness through our shepherd. Our shepherd has taught only the word of God, and he practiced the word of God. He made sacrifice and served and loved. And he forgave with tears, and he waited and endured. If he had taught only, then we would not be able to understand the depths of goodness and love. However, our shepherd showed his own deeds, so we were touched by them. Then, through fervent prayers, we got strength to live by the word of God. Just as Timothy resembled Apostle Paul, and he was reminded of Apostle Paul's life, we have to resemble the life of the Lord and the shepherd, and we have to treat others with the heart of father. A father does not teach only, but he also takes care of souls. He said, Apostle Paul said, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. And then Timothy resembled Apostle Paul and helped the needy and helped the sick people. He thought just as if Timothy always thought about Apostle Paul, and he acted just as you know, Apostle Paul acted. Our life should be the same. Our shepherd has always thought about God and the Lord and lived by His word. And he has said, be imitators of me, just as I am also of Christ. As we resemble the life of the shepherd and the Lord, and treat others, we have to treat others with the heart of Father. The duty of an apostle is not in the words, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:18 says, now some have become arrogant, as though I were not coming to you. Apostle Paul didn't stay in one place for a long time, but he went on a journey. And then he founded many churches everywhere, and preached God's word, testifying to Jesus Christ. After he set up church in Corinth, he went to Asia. Then, some in the church of Corinth became arrogant. He said, I were not coming to you. When he said that, you know, some people in the church of Corinth thought that, you know, he would not come back, so they became arrogant. Their hearts become arrogant and raised. Well, this is something you have to put in your heart and remember. Because there are many cases like this. We have many branch churches and associating churches and many organizations. And every one of us should look back and examine us whether we are like this. Arrogance can pile up without our knowledge. You cannot discover it, but it will gradually pile up. Then, when it is piled up enough, then it will be revealed. But until then, you cannot realize it. So you have to always look at the truth and examine yourself whether you are arrogant or not. You have to show your respect to your seniors, but you should not become tyrant to your subordinates. If you are like this, then you have to quickly turn back and repent. Our shepherd prayed to Father God to accomplish the work of God, but he entrusted the job to church workers and servants. We have to humbly pray and seek for Father God's strength. We have to remember the will of God and remember the goodness of the shepherd and take care of our duties. Chances are that some people think, you know, the shepherd would not come, so they become arrogant. We have to pray fervently. We have to circumcise our heart all the time. We have to be the partakers of God's nature. Some people try to do as if they please. They got stained by arrogance, so they don't realize it, but they are loved and they are acknowledged by people. Practice tells us to go into deeper level of goodness, but they stop circumcising hearts and they look at the world, and suddenly they are stained by sin of the world. Therefore, we have to put always alert against arrogance and changing of mind. When our shepherd prayed for special Daniel prayer meeting, And when he gave us the prayer of blessing, he prayed for us so that we would get rid of the changing of mind and selfish mind. We have to humbly seek the will of Father God, and through fervent prayers, we have to seek the help of the Holy Spirit. We have to always check what we are short of. Mrs. Bonglim Lee leads the Daniel prayer meeting every night. But he always says that, you know, she is short of many things. She finds many shortages. She is so honest to us. I found this, I found that. I should have waited. No, she, you know, testifies. She goes into the deeper level of goodness. It resembles the deeper level of Father God's goodness. Verse 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, but I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I shall find out not the words of those who are arrogant, but their power. The people in the church of Corinth become arrogant and hinder the glory of Father God. When he heard that, he was so sorry. He would like to go to them right away and break their arrogance. But he was in the church of, he was in the Ephesian church. So it was not easy. Now he knew that if Father God does not allow, he could not come. When he was about to preach the gospel in Asia, the Holy Spirit stopped him, and he had to go to Europe. So he said, and I would like to go to them, but I cannot do it with my own will. That's what he said, and if the Lord wills, I will go to you soon. So we must always pray fervently to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, be led by the Holy Spirit. If you are arrogant and your heart, you know, become raised, then you cannot cry out in your prayer. Those who pray fervently feel some stuffiness in their hearts. Then they realize it's not the will of God. Holy Spirit stops me, so they can distinguish and discern and repent and turn back easily. They hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, so they easily figure out it is not the will of God. And once they figure out, they turn back and they escape from, you know, trials. And they make everything work for good. And they can discern things by the truth. However, those who don't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit think that, you know, they do things as if they please, so their plans do not see the great success. The Holy Spirit mourns that he feels stuffed. However, they think that, you know, I don't feel good. I'm not less in the full. And they go on with their plan, and they later found difficulties. Apostle Paul said, I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I shall find out not the words of those who were arrogant, but their power. The power refers to, the power is different from the power in the 1 Corinthians 4:20. It means to know the act and sincerity of the arrogant people. Whether they do and they speak in the truth, they teach without false, they teach only the truth, only the word of God. That's what he should find out. That's what he said. To live by the word of God, you got to receive Father God's strength with your own effort. When you get the strength from Father God, then you can live by the word of God. If you pray without ceasing, you'll receive strength from heaven. Then you can keep the word of truth one by one. Even though you've been a Christian for long, if you don't pray, you cannot receive the strength, so you cannot live by the word of God. However, if you've been a Christian, novice Christian, if you pray fervently and long, then you will receive the strength. Then you can keep the word of God one by one. Therefore, you must pray. To keep the word of God and to live a blessed life, you should pray without ceasing. You should pray fervently. You should not pray only when you're full of the Holy Spirit, but you have to pray by habit, and you have to pray from the depths of your heart. You have to pray fervently by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus prayed as he was his custom, we must feel the amount of our prayers following custom. As we increase our prayer, then we can communicate with Father God more and spiritually, then we can be more blessed, both in spirit and body. My ministry is like that. The fervent prayers helps us to live a life that is separate from the world and to look at the reality, not the illusion of this life. If we don't pray, we cannot be guided by the Holy Spirit. If we don't pray, our life growth of faith stops. If you pray fervently, you can find your shortages and you can change. Don't say you stand, but you always become humble and examine yourself by the word of God. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. The power here is different from the one described before. It means a level higher than the power in verse 19. So the power and the both in those verses are different, okay? The kingdom of God does not consist in words but in power. We have to make bread from it. Many people teach the words of God, but they just teach the words of God. Even if they teach and speak the word of God, they must show the power of God. The apostles of the early church were not talented in speaking. Apostle Peter was a fisherman. He couldn't speak well. However, after he changed, he received strength, and he made 3,000 people repent. Apostles in the early church risked their lives and preached the gospel to make the whole world evangelized. Apostle Paul had the strength too, so he could do many ministry in the Lord. He got many in the knowledge, but he turned everything into nothingness for Father God's kingdom and gospel. Because his knowledge cannot save souls. That cannot enlarge the kingdom of God. It cannot help him to defeat the enemy, devil, and Satan. The kingdom of God consists only in power. So even though you have full of knowledge and wisdom, it cannot save souls. The worldly knowledge cannot become your strength and power. The words of man cannot enlarge the kingdom of God. It cannot defeat the enemy, devil, and Satan. Therefore, Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:8, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. As I said earlier in verse 19, as we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and receive the Holy Spirit and pray before Father God, we got received from heaven. Then we receive strength to live by the word of God. That's the power in verse 19. However, the power in verse 20 refers to fruit of keeping those words. If you live by the word of God in the truth, then you will be sanctified. Then you will bear 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. As you bore such, fruits of the Holy Spirit and pray more, then Father God will give you power. That is the power of word and the power to manifest in signs and wonders. Our shepherd always tells our pastors to pray and arm themselves with the word of God. When pastors meet our shepherd, he always said, you gotta pray more fervently. Even though you are a man of Holy Spirit, you should not stop there. You have to pray more fervently. Without prayer, you cannot receive strength. You cannot receive power. If you receive this authority of word, even though you are not good at speaking, your words can penetrate every man's joint and marrow, as well as spirit and soul. And you can change them. You can plant faith in them. You can help them live by the word of God. Even though you are good at speaking, if there is no authority, even though you speak good words, people cannot have faith. Then they will remain as chaff, even though you speak such good words for 10 years. However, if you are not good at speaking, if Father God's word is with you, Father God's power is with you, then when people hear you, Your words will penetrate their spirit and soul in every joint and marrow. Then they will repent and turn back, and they will have faith. Then as time passes by, there will be amazing works of change. However, if you cannot manifest in signs and wonders, you cannot make them have faith and maintain their faith. Therefore, on top of the authority of the word, you gotta have the power to manifest in signs and wonders. That makes it perfect. Those without faith try to believe, but they are interfered by Satan. So they always want to see and experience something. And even if they experience once or twice, it's not enough. They cannot have perfect faith. They want to believe in Jesus Christ. They read the Bible, and they want to believe that the power was followed, the signs were followed by Apostle Paul. So they may say, was it coincidence? Later on, about a month or 2 months, they want to experience it again and increase their faith. So they have to experience the power again and again to increase their faith. Now, we have Mommy Magazine and Mommy News. That's what many churches love. No, they want to have, they want to publish Mommy News. They want to broadcast Mommy Magazine. However, there are so many countless testimonies in Mommy Magazine and Mommy News. Now, every week we have Mommy Newspaper published. So it's just how many testimonies. However, other churches don't have this kind of testimonies because they got no power. Signs and wonders and power are not manifest in those churches. So they cannot maintain their faith well. When they can believe, they can fight against the world and they can live by the word of God. Therefore, you gotta receive power. And that's Father God's will for you to receive this power. Father God's will is to save souls. To save souls, you gotta have the authority of the word and power to manifest in signs and wonders for planting faith in them. Without signs and wonders, people will doubt and they cannot believe. Especially in this world of developed science, we need signs and wonders all the more. We have WCDN, World Christian Doctors Network. Medical doctors who acknowledge the power of God and testify, they're great. They say, this is the work only Father God can do. They're just inspired and touched, and they testify. Can you see their smile and glittering eyes? Why? Because they are well-educated and they are medical doctors. They know very well. They know very well that it cannot be done with modern science. It cannot be done with man's ability. They know. But they see when people received the prayer, they were healed, they received answers. So that's why they say, glory to God. May glory to God. It is amazing. That's what they confess. There are people who criticize signs and wonders. Well, it was the same in the days of Jesus. The same in today. Well, it is wrong not to manifest the signs and wonders. However, they slander those who manifest in signs and wonders. They say, where can you find it in the Bible? That we say, it is here, 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 and there in the Bible, right? And they say, well, really? And they put their inner tails between their legs and go away, right? So we open the Bible, and there is. Can you see? They say, no, I've never seen it in the Bible. Well, Apostle Paul, you know, when people put the handkerchief or apron that was with the Apostle Paul, you know, they were healed. Wow, it's in the Bible, so we can use this handkerchief, right? This message was delivered in 1987. Back then, he emphasized on the power of God. When Jesus was doing his ministry, signs and wonders were followed. John 4:48, Jesus said, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." This is what the Lord said. If Jesus had not manifested signs and wonders, people would not have believed him. Disciples would not have followed him. Who could have believed him as a son of God? However, signs and wonders followed him. So those with goodness believed in Jesus, believed his word, and accepted him as Savior. But those with the hardened heart, back in those days and even today, they still don't believe, even if they witness signs and wonders. In the book of Acts, when apostles manifested great signs and wonders, people followed them. Acts 5:12 says, "At the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's in the portico." Acts 4 verses 29 and 29-31, "And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. And Acts 6:8, Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. And Acts 8:6, the crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. Deacon Stephen and Philip were deacons, but they loved Father God and piled up great prayers and manifested the signs and wonders. So many people were led to salvation through them. They loved God and they piled up fervent prayers. So they manifested in signs and wonders. So many people were led to salvation because of them. So as you can see, when signs were followed, people could have faith. Acts 8 verses 12 and 13 says, "When they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed the signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed." Like this, signs and wonders should be followed. But today, the world became hardened. Even if people see the power of God, they don't believe. Therefore, our shepherd, he said in 1987, and it's the same. So our shepherd wants to achieve even greater power. That's why he needs power of recreation in this end time. Mark 16:20 says, "They went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed." Confirmed by the signs that followed. Without signs and wonders, people would doubt. However, when signs and wonders were followed, they got to have faith and followed. The kingdom of God does not consist in words but in power. As said, when signs and wonders are followed and the power was taking place, true faith can be given and that they can live by the word of truth and win victory. Today, as in the days of apostles, we don't see the words of arrogance, of the arrogant, but we see their fruits, what kind of action they do, whether their fruits are of goodness, of love, or truth or not. We can see them. Since the power of God consists in power, we can discern them by the authority of the word and signs and wonders. Those power is the power of God. Only those who are loved by Father God, only those who is with Father God. So though this power cannot be given and understanding by anyone. Only through fervent prayers, countless prayers, and whole spirit, with deeper level of goodness and love, they can receive that power from Father God. So, when people see such a power, they acknowledge God and believe in God and glorify God. Let me conclude this message. Duty of an apostle is to boast of weakness in Christ and treat souls with the heart of Father. But not in the words, but in power. The 36 years of ministry of Ma Min can be summarized as the fruit of goodness and signs and wonders in God's power. And we resemble that goodness through our shepherd. 1 Corinthians 4:21 says, "What do you desire? Shall I come to you with the rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness?" A rod means discipline or rebuke. So Apostle Paul says, "What do you want? Do you want me to rebuke you, punish you, discipline you?" Apostle Paul had the authority to punish them because he started the church and he gave birth to them in the gospel. Now, Apostle Paul was doing his ministry in somewhere else, and there was another ministering pastor in the church of Corinth. However, Apostle Paul was the senior pastor to them, and that ministering pastor learned from him. And the members of the Corinthian church were born in Christ Jesus by Apostle Paul, so he could rebuke them. He said so because he was so sorry. And this message applies to us. We've learned about spiritual realm and heaven. We also confess that we are going to New Jerusalem with the shepherd. People persecute the church where the power of God is manifested. But Father God is watching. Father God is watching us, whether we pray and do our duties, filling up our 1%, or we may complain. Father God will make everything twisted in goodness and pay us back in goodness. So, what kind of God is it that we should meet? We have to meet God of love and gentleness, not the God of punishment. Father God hates our arrogance. Father God is full of justice and love together. He endures long and He waits. However, there is a spiritual law, and He practices that justice when the law is violated. From the beginning, Father God always Father God's petition and love for our souls. He has taken care of all our shortages, and He begged for forgiveness for us. He just looked at us with love, and He sought the will of God in tears. Now we have to come forth as fruit of that love. We have to change ourselves by the truth. We must be weak in Christ, depending on God, and serving others, and being low. We should love souls as the shepherd with Father's heart. And we have to always pray fervently and come forth as apostles of God's power. Let's think over the message and pray together.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children, and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Amen.